Vet Voice, Trump's Tariff Gambit. Alan W. Dowd's article, May, was an interesting look at the history of tariffs in the United States. But there are two things Dowd apparently failed to grasp. The first is that while most tariffs in the past were solely protectionist or punitive, President Trump's efforts are intent on leveling the playing field by forcing other nations to drop protectionist tariffs on U.S. goods. The second is that the whole of the American left, and much of the right, has consistently and sadly underestimated Trump from the day he announced his candidacy to his election to his dealings with NATO and North Korea. President Trump, it is clear, should not be underestimated. Rupert Baird, Lugoff, South Carolina. Global economics reduces barriers to allow products to be made by the cheapest labor in the world, then sent to wealthier nations. Of the millions of Asian workers involved, 25% are estimated to be forced labor. That's one tiny step above a slave. They live in cramped, squalid company housing units and work in factories OSHA would condemn. Millions of Americans lost their jobs to these poor people, while the moneyed people reaped huge returns. President Trump's bold actions have brought many manufacturing jobs back to our country and are forcing Asian slave masters to reform. Joe McGuire, Boston, Kentucky. The only correct way to handle trade with other nations is to treat them exactly as they treat us. That is fair trade. I retired in Germany and decided to try to start my own company. I also decided to buy a Jeep and had it delivered to Germany. It cost about $29,000 when I picked it up. I drove about 200 feet and went through German customs. Now my Jeep cost me $55,000. Yes, that is how Germany treats all cars imported from the United States. 89% taxation. There are almost no made-in-the-USA cars operating in all of Europe. The rest of the world is taking advantage of the United States, and we have allowed this to continue. That is why we lose about $600 billion from our total economy to the rest of the world each and every year. Do not think the rest of the world believes in actual fair trade with the United States. They can't keep up when we all work. This is why the United States used to be the world's largest creditor nation and has, for a long time, been the world's largest debtor nation. Ronald M. Brook, Orlando. While Alan Dowd approaches trade relations from an academic perspective, I approach the subject based on my Vietnam combat leadership and forest product operational experience. For years, the Canadian forest products sector exploited weak U.S. trade negotiations to operate in an atmosphere that was neither fair nor free trade. The Canadians had a different understanding of subsidy than the U.S. government. They provided their industry with the ability to secure raw material and build and maintain facilities going back at least 40 years. That was not available to U.S. operators. This contributed to the decline in U.S. operations and substantial growth of the forest products industry north of the border. This trend ended with the Trump administration and tougher trade negotiations. Trump's performance in making progress in future trade deals will improve if all political and business sectors get behind him. So far, he has accomplished much despite press and political opposition that have damaged his credibility, made him appear weak, and undermined his ability to bring back fair trade to the art of free trade. Trump's accomplishments in returning manufacturing to the United States in less than 2.5 years is a business miracle. Bill Mulligan, Clarkston, Washington. In Washington's and Lincoln's times, and prior to income tax in 1913, tariffs were an integral part of our national economy, continuing to be so until the advent of supply-side voodoo economics during Reagan's administration. China has long levied tariffs and additional taxes on our exported goods, and it does not permit foreign ownership of property. Why no discussion of its tariff gambit? Japan has no natural resources. How does our trade partnership overcome this deficit to enable Japan to outproduce the United States on so many levels? from the onset of Reaganomics to the present, when it could not during World War II. Media propaganda seems to be persuading us to export our jobs and import third world misery. We are led to believe that foreign industrial colonization and illegal immigration are preferable to unions and a living wage. We must ask ourselves, who does this scenario benefit, and who owns much of the media? Do the names Bezos and Buffett sound familiar? Americans have always committed themselves to leaving each succeeding generation better off. Why are we reversing this process by tearing down our moral fiber and family unit, leaving most in poverty while mounting an ever-burgeoning national debt? The movie-making, football-playing skills of supply-side's originators did not deliver the free world. We must return to results-oriented, common-sense reality, demanding what belongs to us instead of relinquishing the bounty bestowed upon us at so much peril and sacrifice. Lewis L. Boehm, Orchard Park, New York. A contract fulfilled. I was glad to read Henry Howard's story about John Ivins, American Legion Post 42, looking over the Grand Canyon Pioneer Cemetery. May. This brought to mind the many graves of Civil War veterans, North and South, around the country. I hope these men are remembered. Perhaps other posts can adopt these graves and provide care and maintenance. William Howard Sands, Oroville, California. Blue Water Vets. I read the article by Tom Philpott, Veterans Update, May, with great interest. The recent decision by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit is certainly welcomed by us Blue Water Vets. However, I believe the legal argument to determine if our service in the territorial seas is included as part of the Republic of Vietnam is totally irrelevant. There are two basic facts that are not being mentioned by anyone. First, regardless of any boundaries on a map, river waters anywhere on the globe eventually flow into coastal waters. Second, all U.S. Navy ships operating in the coastal waters of Vietnam utilized onboard desalination systems to convert that coastal seawater for the crew to use for drinking, bathing, and cooking. The potential exposure to Agent Orange follows these two simple facts, and yet many politicians continue to deny benefits for 70,000 blue water sailors and their families. William Neely, Cody, Wyoming. The American Legion magazine welcomes your opinions. Include your hometown and a daytime phone number for verification. All letters published are subject to editing. Due to the volume of mail received, not every letter can be acknowledged. The American Legion magazine, P.O. Box 1055, Indianapolis, Indiana 46206. Magazine at legion.org.